Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear once again a portion of our reading, and I'll also extend that reading into other verses of the chapter, John chapter 6. So they gathered up the loaves and filled 12 baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain. And later in the same chapter we read, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. I am the bread of life." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, dear fellow redeemed. There are a couple of different lessons from our text here. One you could call the lesser lesson and one the greater lesson. The first lesson has to do with our temporary daily bread, namely that we know from Scripture and from experience that God gives us what we need for this life. And we emphasize this especially when we consider the fourth petition to the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," and we know that that includes not just literal bread, but everything needed for this life. And when we think about it, God gives us everything we need for this life, not just once in a while, but 99.99% of the time. We have everything we need for this life. And if God takes something away at one point or another, we can still always look back and say, back then and even now, he's still giving me 99.9% or more of what I need. And you relate this to the virus that's in the world right now, and in our country, and in our state, and in our county. And even if it has affected us or our loved ones, and it may, we still have 99.99% of all that we need because God provides them for us. Not miraculously like he did here in our text, but he uses means, he uses instruments, he uses people to bring us our daily bread, but ultimately they always come from our Heavenly Father. He gives us our daily bread. But this morning I want to spend more time on the greater lesson. And I want to do that by talking about the elephant in the room. In fact, I'm going to talk about two elephants in the room. When people talk about the elephant in the room, what that means is they know that something is there, but they don't act or live as if it is there. They know it's there, but they kind of ignore it, you might say. So two elephants in the room I want to mention. The first elephant in the room is death for all people. All people know that death is there, and in fact, death for them personally. But most people do not act as if death is there. They don't give it much thought. They don't prepare for it. They know it's there and maybe down the road, but they're not all that concerned about that elephant in the room called death. Well, things have changed. COVID-19, the virus, has changed all that. And now people realize more so than a month or two ago, that this elephant is there. They begin to see this elephant more clearly. Or you might say this elephant, this death, is now facing people right in their face. So this virus has had a tendency to help people see the reality of death. And that's what plagues do, and wars do, and famines do, and pestilences do, and all sorts of other things. They make us aware of this elephant in the room that we call death. But then there's another elephant in the room, one that's right next to that first elephant. And that is the reality of sin. And I'm not talking about that people don't realize there is sin and evil and wickedness in the world, because most people do. What I'm talking about is the realization of individual sin, individual sinfulness and wickedness and evil. Now, most people are almost always willing to recognize evil in the world over there, and that person or that person. But it's another thing for people to realize that it's here, that I am and that you are by nature sinful and unclean. This elephant is much more difficult for people to see and acknowledge and confess, even as they realize that other elephant, that death elephant. Death may hit them, they may realize death, but personal sin is another matter. That one always seems to be more difficult to acknowledge and see and confess. But it's interesting that this elephant in the room that is called personal sin and sinfulness is actually the parent of the other one. This one has fathered that other elephant. Every person out there will die at some point, either from a virus or an accident or war or old age or disease, and they will die because he or she is a sinner. You will die at some point from a virus or whatever because you are sinful. You are a sinner. As Christians, we usually have a much better grasp of these two elephants. We realize and we see and we acknowledge and we confess both that we are dying, will die, and that we are sinners. I'm going to die because of this reason or that reason, but ultimately because of my sin. Let me now refer specifically to the greater lesson from our text. And this is really, really a wonderful, great message from our text. So Jesus is up on this mountain, and all these people, 5,000 men plus women or children, are with him. And he miraculously feeds them bread. It's amazing. Now, why does he do this? Well, this miraculous feeding is a sign. It is a sign specifically that Jesus is the real bread of life. That's what he wants them to know. However, they don't get it. They do not view Jesus as the real bread of life. They acknowledge him that he's the prophet that's come into the world. They want to make him king by force, but not so he could be their real bread of life, but instead so he could be their bread provider, so that he could provide them with everything they need for this life. They acknowledge him merely and only as a here and now king, so he could satisfy them with every earthly benefit. And because they view Jesus that way, and only that way, we see from John chapter 6 that they actually rejected Jesus. So in verse 26, Jesus says to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and you do not believe." We jump down to verse 41. We see that the Jews are grumbling because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" And so Jesus in the chapter there points out to them very clearly that they have rejected him as the real bread of life. And this is also the way many people today view Jesus. In fact, I would guess that this has become a more popular understanding of Jesus within just the last few weeks. The virus that is pointing people to the reality of death, the virus that is also intended and designed to point people to the reality that causes death, namely sin, it may do part of that, but I'm afraid that because people do not recognize their real personal sin, that they will also therefore not come to Jesus because he is the real bread of life. They will view Jesus only as one to bring an end to the virus, give them what they need for the here and now. And so they may very well go to Jesus or their version of Jesus, but only so that Jesus may bring an end to this virus and temporal death, or at least put off death. Now there's a very important warning here for us as well. When we look to Jesus here and now at this time with this catastrophe that is looming around us, we are not to look to Jesus merely as a bread king, merely as one who has come to help us with the things here and now. Jesus is the real bread of life. So let me read to you again verses from John chapter 6. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So Jesus is here to give life, eternal life. He takes away death. When Jesus becomes our real bread of life, death is no longer the final reality. That one elephant no longer is a reality. It is dead. Death is dead. But in order to do that, Jesus also had to take away the cause of death. That other elephant has to be removed. And it was on the cross. There that sin was paid for in full. the personal sinfulness and the personal sins of every man, woman, and child. Every one of your sins, your complete sinfulness, was paid for on the cross. Again, I want to read these verses from our chapter, John chapter 6. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. There's always been a debate whether these words refer to the Lord's Supper, and we would have to say that they at least refer to the Lord's Supper indirectly, if not directly. But the point is this: the body that suffered and died on the cross, the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins and for eternal life, is the very body and blood that we also find in the Lord's Supper. We cannot do without the means of grace, including this sacrament. And therefore, during this trying time, we will continue to offer not only the word, but we will continue to offer the sacrament. We will take the necessary precautions, but it will be offered. And we can say that God's grace and mercy and forgiveness in his word and sacrament are needed today more than ever. That's what a deadly virus does. It drives us to Christ. And so we have to go where Christ is. And so, God willing, if we meet here next Sunday, and I think it's likely that we will also offer the Lord's Supper. And if any of you want it today, let me know. If I have to sneak into your house or your apartment, I will do so. I will. A couple more things here. I've been using the word real bread of life. I could also use the word true bread of life. So let me just qualify and clarify that. This last Friday at confirmation class, Hannah and Nicole, are you there, Hannah and Nicole? Remember I talked about your earthly fathers versus your real father? We were studying the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. What does this mean? God hereby tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true father, and we are his true children. In other words, the fathers we have here are temporary fathers. You know, whether we like that or not is besides the point, but that's the reality. They are temporary fathers. But our eternal father, our true father, our real father, is the one in heaven. Same thing with the bread of life. The bread we eat here is temporary bread. But Jesus is the real bread of life. He is the eternal bread of life. So here's the last thing I want to say. My wife makes this wonderful bread from scratch. And unfortunately, I'm kind of on a diet right now where I don't partake of wheat. But thinking about this bread, I may abandon this diet so I can eat her bread again, because it's so good, so delicious. Especially right out of the oven, just with butter on it. That's the way I like it. And if I go home and eat her bread today, I will not share it with you, because there's not enough of it. But Jesus is the real bread of life. And there's always plenty of him for everybody and anybody. He is the bread of life. He is the one who has done away with death. He is the one who has done away with sin. And we believe in him and partake of him. And we have the true, real bread of life, so that our sins are forgiven and death is no longer the final reality, but heaven is. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.